Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, they make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Flight schedules have returned to normal. AP correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
The Federal Aviation Administration has lifted all restrictions on commercial flights. The FAA says flight schedules have returned to normal. The restrictions were imposed during the government shutdown at 40 major U.S. airports. They had been in place since November 7th and had affected thousands of flights. The FAA says they were needed to ease the strain on the aviation system and to help manage staffing shortages at air traffic control facilities. The flight cuts started out at 4% and increased to 6% before the FAA on Friday rolled them back to 3%. I'm Mike Hempen.
President Trump says House Republicans should vote to release the Jeffrey Epstein files. His statement followed a fierce fight within the GOP over the files, including a split with Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene, who had long been one of his fiercest supporters.
President Trump now says House Republicans should vote to release the files in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Trump had been fighting the proposal as more Republicans supported the release of the files, but that changed Sunday night. Writing on social media, Trump said, quote, "We have nothing to hide." Trump's statement followed a fierce fight within the GOP over the files, including a nasty split with Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who had long been one of his fiercest supporters. Democrats and some Republicans have been pushing a measure that would force the Justice Department to make public more documents from the case. The president's shift is an implicit acknowledgement that they have enough votes to pass the House, although the measure's future in the Senate is uncertain. Mike Hempen, Washington.
A former Alaska Airlines pilot who tried to cut the engines of a passenger flight in 2023 is set to appear for sentencing in federal court today. Joseph Emerson was riding off duty in the cockpit when the incident took place. Following his arrest, he told police he had been struggling with depression, that a friend had recently died and had taken psychedelic mushrooms about 2 days earlier and hadn't slept in over 40 hours. He's pleaded guilty or no contest to all charges as part of agreements with state and federal prosecutors. The office of Mayor Eric Adams says New York Jets cornerback Chris Boyd was critically injured in a shooting in Midtown Manhattan yesterday. Boyd was in critical but stable condition.
New York's mayor's office says Jets cornerback Chris Boyd was critically injured in a shooting in Midtown Manhattan. The New York Police Department says a 29-year-old man shot early Sunday was taken to a hospital where he was in critical but stable condition. Mayor Eric Adams' office says the man shot was Boyd. There had been no arrests as of Sunday. A Jets spokesperson says the team is aware of the situation. Boyd hasn't played this season, his first with the Jets, after going on the season-ending injured reserve list in August. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
In Bangladesh, a special tribunal has sentenced ousted minister Sheikh Hasina to death on charges of crimes against humanity. This is AP News. Poland's prime minister says a railway line bringing passenger trains into Warsaw from southeastern Poland on Sunday was sabotaged. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma has more.
Poland Prime Minister Donald Tusk says the damage to the line between Warsaw and Lublin was caused by an explosion, Tusk clarified. Unfortunately, the worst fears have been confirmed. An act of sabotage has occurred on this route in the village of Mika. Two passengers and several staff members were on the train, but no injuries were reported. The perpetrators will be caught regardless of who's behind them, says Tusk, who called the incident an unprecedented act of sabotage. Polish authorities have detained dozens of people over suspected sabotage and espionage since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Charlotte, North Carolina resident Willie Aceituna says when immigration agents asked him for papers, he showed them, proving that he's a U.S. citizen. But he says agents broke his truck window and slammed him to the ground. Many residents of the city are reporting encounters with immigration agents. Elizabeth Fuentes says people are scared.
Border Patrol being here is really going to affect how we live on a day-to-day basis, you know? You know, we're going to be living in fear, constant fear that one day, one of us might not come home.
Meanwhile, some residents protested the presence of immigration officers who say they've made dozens of arrests. The USS Gerald R. Ford, the most advanced U.S. aircraft carrier, has arrived in the Caribbean Sea as part of what the Trump administration calls a counter-drug operation. But it's been seen as an escalating pressure tactic against Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Since September, U.S. airstrikes have killed at least 80 people in 20 attacks on small boats accused of transporting drugs in the Caribbean and the Eastern Pacific Ocean. With the USS Ford's arrival, there are now roughly 12,000 U.S. troops on nearly a dozen Navy ships in what Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth calls Operation Southern Spear. Daniel Edwin Wilson of Louisville, Kentucky, was under investigation for his role in the January 6th Capitol riot when authorities found six guns and roughly 4,800 rounds of ammunition in his home. Because of prior felony convictions, it was illegal for him to possess firearms. When President Donald Trump pardoned hundreds of January 6th defendants, Wilson remained behind bars because of the separate firearms conviction. But Trump has now granted Wilson a second pardon, and he was released Friday evening. He had been scheduled to remain in prison until 2028. A White House official says Wilson was granted the second pardon because the search of Mr. Wilson's home was due to the events of January 6th, and that authorities should have never been there in the first place. A U.S. Commerce Department review based on allegations that Italian pasta makers were undercutting U.S. competitors by selling Italian pasta at below market prices has President Donald Trump threatening to raise tariffs on imported pasta by a total of 107%. In Philadelphia, Sal Ariema's Claudio Specialty Food has been in business for more than 60 years.
Pasta is a pretty small sector to pick on. Pasta, it's a basic food. Something's got to be sacred.
In Italy, Margherita Mastromoro, president of the pasta makers sector of Union Food, says a 107% duty would essentially mean a halt to pasta imports. Still, Ariema thinks some Americans will pay the increased prices for good pasta.
I mean, for Italian pasta, especially really good Italian pasta, people will pay.
I'm Donna Water.
President Trump has signed an executive order lifting tariffs on a range of import commodities in response to consumer complaints about soaring prices. Beef is on the list, and a number of products not typically produced in the U.S. That includes coffee, tea, fruit juice, cocoa, spices, tomatoes, tropical fruits, and certain fertilizers. The administration also announced Thursday that the U.S. had reached framework agreements with Ecuador, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Argentina to ease levies on agricultural products from those countries. In other trade news, a USDA report cast doubt on whether China will buy anywhere near the amount of American soybeans promised by the administration following a summit between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins said China agreed to purchase 12 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans by January and 25 million tons each of the next 3 years. The new data shows only two Chinese purchases totaling 332,000 tons, less than 3% of the promised volume. Dr. Alan Featherstone with Kansas State University says soybeans are the number one U.S. export to China, and historically they've been buying between 25 and 34 million metric tons per year. Jennifer King, Washington.
Emails revealed by the House Oversight Committee reveal that Jeffrey Epstein had a network of the rich and powerful despite his sex offender status. The emails show that Epstein maintained connections with influential figures despite his 2008 guilty plea to soliciting prostitution from an underage girl. The documents, spanning at least a decade, show Epstein's interactions with business executives, reporters, academics, and political players. Some supported him during legal troubles, while others sought introductions or advice. The emails don't implicate his contacts in crimes, but do illustrate his influence. Epstein was charged with sex trafficking in 2019 and died in jail a month later. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Ford Motor Company is showing off its new world headquarters in Dearborn, Michigan. It's 2.1 million square feet on four floors. Ford's Jennifer Kolstad, who gave a media tour last week, says what's really impressive is the showroom.
Some of us joke that it feels like the James Bond villain's lair, and it really does, because, you know, it's a black ceiling with a concrete edge and a black pigmented floor, but it is impressive. When you're in it, you feel like you are in the center of automotive design.
University of Michigan business professor Eric Gordon.
There is value in having your technical employees and your executive employees, marketing employees, all together, especially when the technology starts to play a bigger and bigger role in your future.
Ford Land CEO Jim Dobleski says the plan is to have more than 14,000 employees within a 7-minute walk and another 9,000 within a 9-minute drive. Four officers in Kansas are recovering after being shot Saturday during a domestic violence call. It happened just south of Topeka, and authorities say the 22-year-old suspect died of gunshot wounds at the scene. Carbondale, Kansas resident John Roberts, who lives about a mile up the road, says he was outside when it went down.
I was actually putting siding on the barn out there when the first officer went by, and then the second officer didn't have lights on, and both of them were running, I would say, well over 100 miles an hour as they went by, and kind of piqued my interest, but it's not unusual. And then the city of Topeka officers started going by. That's when I started to really get concerned.
Authorities say the suspect's 77-year-old grandfather was also wounded in the gunfire, but he and the four officers are expected to recover. I'm Donna Warder.
In Oakland, California, Laney College football coach John Beam has died. He was shot on campus. Lieutenant Gloria Beltran says tips quickly came into police.
Alameda County Sheriff's Deputy Torres observed someone who matched the suspect description at the San Leandro BART station.
That person was arrested. Beam was featured in the Netflix series Last Chance U. Oakland Mayor Barbara Lee described him as a giant and a mentor. Piedmont Police Chief Fred Shavies is a longtime friend.
John was so much more than a coach. He was a father figure to thousands of not only men, but young women in our community. I know that I am not eloquent enough to put into words the indelible mark that Coach Beam has left on so many, not just in this region, but around the state and around the nation.
Audio from KGO. Beam was shot a day after a student was shot at Oakland Skyline High School. That student is in stable condition. I'm Ed Donahue.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks mostly recovered from an early slump on Wall Street in another bumpy day of trading. The S&P 500 was down as much as 1.3% in the early going Friday before ending with a dip of just 0.1%. The Nasdaq Composite erased its early loss and flipped to a gain of 0.1%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 309 points, about 0.7%. NVIDIA began the day with a steep loss, then turned higher in the middle of the day, pulling the market along with it. Bitcoin and gold, two other investor favorites, ended lower. Seth Soutell, New York.
Walmart CEO Doug McMillon announced his surprise retirement at age 59. McMillon plans to step down on January 31st, 2026. His successor, John Furner, the head of Walmart's U.S. operations, will take over the very next day. Walmart shares fell 3% immediately in pre-market trading after the news of the unexpected leadership change. Unlike Amazon's Jeff Bezos and Tesla's Elon Musk, McMillon isn't a household name, but he's played a key role in the U.S. economy. Walmart's performance is a barometer of consumer spending given its size. The company maintains that more than 150 million customers shop on its website or in its stores every week. I'm Haya Panjwani.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. Will Lutz's 35-yard field goal as time expired help Denver win its 8th straight and match New England with its NFL-best 9th win after a 22-19 victory over Kansas City?
I've been waiting for a game like that, so it was nice to play a big part in it.
Pittsburgh quarterback Aaron Rodgers was being evaluated after missing the second half of Sunday's win over Cincinnati with a left wrist injury. College football, Georgia moved up to number 4 and Oklahoma is back in the top 10 in the AP Top 25. On Saturday, the Bulldogs routed then number 10 Texas 35-10 behind Gunnar Stockton's 5 total TDs.
It was a great game. It was a great atmosphere. Something you definitely dream of.
Number 3 Texas A&M rallied from 27 down to beat South Carolina 31-30, and world number 2 Yannick Sinner bested top-ranked Carlos Alcaraz to win the ATP Finals. Geffen Coolbaugh, AP Sports.
The move brings a whole different dimension to the table, said David Owasco, director of the International Climate Initiative at World Resources Institute. Adding to the pressure delegates face late Sunday, the Brazilian presidency of the talks issued a 5-page summary on how to proceed with sticky issues, including telling nations to do more in their new emissions-cutting plans, how trade disputes and barriers involving climate are handled, and the need for financial aid to poor nations. Further, officials are considering creating new detailed roadmaps to get from a lofty goal to something done. It's what's already been used to solidify last year's $300 billion annual goal for rich nations to provide climate financial aid to poor ones. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Chileans are voting for a new president and parliament in an election expected to favour the hard right. The election features a dramatic choice between Jeanette Jara, a communist and former Labour minister, and José Antonio Kast, an ultra-conservative lawyer. Candidates have focused on public fears over organised crime and immigration. This election marks Chile's first mandatory voting since 2012, adding millions of new voters. The country also renews its lower house of Congress and part of the Senate. Sunday's vote is the first of what's likely to be 2 rounds of presidential elections in the South American country.
President Alexander Stubb of Finland told the Associated Press that a ceasefire in Ukraine is unlikely before spring. Speaking to the AP in Halvala, Finland, Stubb said,
"I'm not very optimistic about achieving a ceasefire or the beginning of peace negotiations, at least this year. I mean, perhaps if we get something going by February, March, that would be good."
He urged European allies to maintain support for Ukraine despite a corruption scandal in Kyiv. Stubb said Europe needs to think more Finnish and show sisu, a Finnish term for resilience, as Russia continues its hybrid attacks in Europe. Stubb has a good relationship with President Donald Trump, which he uses to advocate for Ukraine. The two men have bonded over a round of golf together. The British government plans to tighten its asylum system following Denmark's model to reduce immigration and address the political storm over migrants crossing the English Channel. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood said it was a moral mission to control the borders and reunite a divided country on the flashpoint issue that has helped fuel the rise of the hard-right Reform UK party. But as the daughter of migrants, she denied that the ruling centre-left Labour Party was adopting far-right talking points. The new reforms include revoking legal duties to support asylum seekers and regularly reviewing refugee status. Ukraine's president has said Kyiv is working to resume prisoner exchanges with Russia that could bring home 1,200 Ukrainian prisoners. President Volodymyr Zelensky said that many meetings and negotiations are taking place to ensure this. Rustem Umerov, Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council Secretary, said that he held consultations mediated by Turkey and the United Arab Emirates. The parties agreed to activate prisoner exchange agreements brokered in Istanbul. Meanwhile, Russian drone strikes damaged energy infrastructure in Ukraine's Odessa region overnight into Sunday. Ukraine's Air Force said that Ukrainian forces shot down or neutralized 139 drones. Heavy rain has hit Gaza's Mawasi tent camp, worsening conditions for residents already struggling with flooding and damaged infrastructure after 2 years of relentless Israeli bombardment. As cloudy skies threatened another downpour in Gaza City, Abdul Rahim Halawa, a father of 7 children, work to fasten a tarp over his shelter made of some pieces of wood, blankets, and worn sheets of plastic. Residents also tried to dig trenches to keep water out of their tents, but rain soaked their belongings. Strong winds can also topple tents and make it hard to gather food and supplies. The United Nations has said that Mawasi has been sheltering up to 425,000 displaced Palestinians earlier this year. Israeli authorities have claimed that they're allowing in winterization materials, but aid organizations warn these efforts are nowhere near enough. Lebanon's president has asked the foreign minister to file a complaint against Israel for building a wall inside Lebanese territory. The president's office said that the complaint should include a statement from the UN peacekeeping force UNIFIL, which is deployed along the border. On Friday, UNIFIL reported that the Israeli army erected a wall southwest of the Lebanese village of Yaroun. The wall crossed the borderline, rendering more than 4,000 square meters of Lebanese territory inaccessible. UNIFIL informed the Israeli army and requested the wall's removal, stating that it violates a UN Security Council resolution and Lebanon's sovereignty. Colombia's human rights ombudswoman says 7 children were killed in a controversial airstrike earlier this week against a rebel camp in the country's south. The revelation comes as the administration of President Gustavo Petro steps up efforts to regain control of rural areas in Guaviare province. Ombudswoman Iris Marin said the miners who were killed in the strike against the FARC-EMC rebel group had been forcibly recruited into the group and were used as human shields. Marin called on the Colombian government and rebel groups in the country to respect international humanitarian law. Russia has launched a major missile and drone attack on Kyiv, killing 6 people and wounding at least 35, including a pregnant woman. The attack was the biggest on Kyiv in almost 3 weeks. Most recent Russian aerial attacks have targeted electricity infrastructure around the country ahead of the bitter winter months. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Friday's assault targeted high-rise apartment blocks and was intended to harm civilians. The attack also hit Odessa and Kharkiv. Ukraine used American-made Patriot air defense systems to shoot down 14 missiles. In response, Ukraine has launched its own drones and missiles against Russian targets. Moscow officials deny targeting civilian areas, claiming they hit military facilities. Israel has returned the bodies of 15 Palestinians to Gaza, as confirmed by officials at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. The move is part of a ceasefire agreement and follows the return of the body of an Israeli captive by militants. Since the ceasefire began on October the 10th, Israel has received the remains of 25 hostages, with 3 bodies still in Gaza. For each hostage body returned, Israel releases 15 Palestinian bodies. Meanwhile, the UN human rights chief has condemned recent attacks by Israeli settlers against Palestinians in the West Bank, urging an end to the violence. The UN said more than 260 attacks by Israeli settlers against Palestinians and their property in the West Bank were recorded in October alone. Timur Mindich has been named as the mastermind behind a $100 million embezzlement scheme in Ukraine. An investigation by anti-corruption agencies revealed his influence over top officials and the state nuclear power company. Mindich, who was reportedly tipped off, has fled the country. 2 top ministers have resigned. Kyiv resident and serviceman Denis Bidish said Ukraine should be using all the money it can on defense during this time of war and that it should not be stolen to line people's pockets. Mindich's rise is linked to his past business ties with President Volodymyr Zelensky. Until recently, Mindich was known as a producer in the entertainment industry. Mindich is also under investigation for alleged dealings with a drone company. I'm Karen Chemas.
Police in Sweden say a double-decker bus crashed into a bus stop in Stockholm and killed at least 3 people and injured 3 more. Police were treating the crash as involuntary manslaughter but are still investigating. It isn't immediately clear what the cause is. Authorities were alerted to the crash on Friday afternoon. Swedish news agency TT said police confirmed that the driver had been detained and would be questioned to determine what happened. Emergency services said the vehicle, a regular city bus, was not in service and no passengers were on board at the time. I'm Haya Panjwani.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, U.S. Catholic bishops select a conservative culture warrior as their leader, and a horror film explores the origin story of Jesus. U.S. Catholic bishops have chosen a conservative culture warrior to lead them during President Donald Trump's second term. The bishops elected Oklahoma City Archbishop Paul Coakley as their new president. His election is seen as a barometer for the bishops' priorities. In choosing Coakley, the bishops are doubling down on their conservative focus, even as they push for more humane immigration policies from the Trump administration.
Faith. My only strength to bear against the devil itself.
A new psychological horror film explores the apocryphal story of the life of Jesus as a young man.
He bears a power he cannot understand.
It's based on a second century text called the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. The text didn't make it into the New Testament, but it remained popular among Christians for centuries.
Well, he had an old copy of it, and it was the first time I'd heard about it.
Writer and director Lotfi Nathan says he saw the ancient story's potential as a film when he was introduced to the text by his father.
I saw immediately what the introductory text over black before giving the context, and thought that gave me chills, you know.
The accuser of life.
The origins and author of the Infancy Gospel is unknown, but it offers accounts of Jesus' life from ages 5 to 12. Many Christians today reject its legitimacy and say it conflicts with the Jesus of the Bible.
I think when I first got sent the script, I was like 17. I was about to turn 18. I was about to, be a legal man in the UK.
Actor Noah Jupe, who plays young Jesus in the film, says he relates to the role.
For this role to come in, that basically was like the coming of age of one of the most influential people ever was pretty awesome to tackle as I was coming into my own age.
The Carpenter's Son hits U.S. theaters this weekend. I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.